40 greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Our big football story this week was tragic in nature. The deadly plane crash in Colombia involving the Brazilian club Chapecoense. Most of the players were killed in the crash near Medellin, which claimed the lives of 71 people. Joining us now from Miami, Florida, for reaction and analysis is my VOA colleague, Hessel Tobias, who reports for our Latin American division. Hessel, welcome back to the sunny side of sports.
Thank you very much for having me, Sonny.
Hessel, very, very sad week in football with the plane crash in Colombia. The terrible news that most of Chapecoense's team was killed in that crash. I remember your reports, Hessel, during the Copa America Centenario. I know you're a football fan. What was your initial reaction when you heard the news from Colombia?
I couldn't believe it, Sonny. I had to go and check back again the internet and wait a little bit longer because the first place where I saw the information was in Twitter. So people were tweeting about it. So my first reaction was like, I had to check this because it's impossible. This cannot be happening right now. So, but after that, when the agencies, the news agencies, start sending confirmation about the accident, it was very sad for me to know that a complete, entire soccer team just lost their life in an accident like this.
Hessel, you mentioned Twitter, and I know the football legends Pelé from Brazil and also Diego Maradona from Argentina, they both use social media to express their condolences after this terrible football tragedy. The use of social media, does that really kind of maybe make the impact even greater in the wake of this tragedy?
It is possible because now we have a way to see what other people think about it immediately. So, as you mentioned, some of the greatest players like Maradona, but some other players from Brazil as well, like Ronaldinho, Ronaldo, and some others, were tweeting as well and sending their condolences. And that's information we can have right away and seeing these people involved and see what they think about the accident. Definitely make us to keep this accident in mind all the time. So it's a good tool, of course, for us to know what's going on immediately. But at the same time, we have like so much information, and it's in this occasion, we're talking about sad information. We just can't get over this.
The South American Football Confederation said they were going to suspend all activities. What can you tell our VOA listeners, Hessel, about memorial services planned for this weekend?
Yes, like today, for example, people from FIFA is going to be in shape where this Brazilian soccer team is from. They're going to be in their stadium in Chapeco holding a collective funeral at their stadium, as I mentioned, along with other figures from Brazil, including the national team coach. And it's going to be, as I mentioned, personal from FIFA. But the FIFA as well has called for a minute's silence before every single football match during this weekend, this coming weekend. So this is another action the FIFA is taking.
Chapecoense was scheduled to play Atletico Medellin in the two-leg final, Hessel, of the Copa Sudamericana. I know the Colombian team has said that Chapecoense should be awarded the trophy. Your thoughts?
I agree. I definitely agree. This is a symbolic moment. This is not for the team from Colombia to say they win because the other team wasn't there. This is a very moment to be unified, and to it will be a very symbolic moment, just not just for the soccer team from Brazil, for Chapecoense, but for football in general. It's a show of humility and a show that as a soccer fans, we all united in situations like this.
Hassel, what can you tell our VOA listeners about the repatriation of bodies in Colombia, bringing them back to Brazil?
The repatriation of bodies already began. At least 17 bodies are going to be sent from Colombia to Brazil starting today. And they are hoping to finish this process between today and tomorrow because they want to hold a massive event, a collective funeral during this weekend. So we're gonna be receiving more information about this during these next hours.
Some just incredible stories, Hassel, regarding that Chapecoense team, that one of the victims was the coach, and yet his son, who was scheduled, did not get on that plane and was back in Brazil, so he was not killed. Any other those type of stories that you've heard?
Yes, for example, one of the players who still is alive, and he was in the plane. He was one of the players that were in the plane, but survived miraculously. So he survived, and his family is saying that it's a miracle for them to have his son, his 31 years old son, back with them. But at the same time, it's sad for them to see how other families are crying in a very delicate moment right now because they didn't wear as lucky as this specific family. So definitely it's a very sad story. And as I mentioned before, I think the soccer fans in the world are united right now. And we're going to see a lot of symbolism during this weekend, like many players from different big teams like Real Madrid. We're going to have this El Clásico this weekend. We're going to have Real Madrid playing against Barcelona. They all not just going to have a minute of silence, but at the same time, they all want to wear this black band on their shoulders, somehow as to remember and to commemorate the lost life.
Hassel Tobias reporting from Miami, Florida. Hassel, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you for having me, Sonny.
Another sad football story that's building out of Britain, an investigation into claims of child sexual abuse involving British soccer clubs has grown to about 350 alleged cases. The investigations have rocked Britain's most popular sport and its affiliated clubs, including systems of youth camps. Over the past 2 weeks, several former professional soccer players have come forward to recount abuse they say they suffered as children and had been kept secret for decades. The National Police Chiefs Council says there have been a significant number of calls to authorities, and the police group is suggesting the number could rise. Britain's Football Association has launched its own investigation into the handling of the child abuse allegations. World football's governing body, FIFA, announced its three-man shortlist for its 2016 Player of the Year award on Friday. They are Antoine Griezmann of France and Atletico Madrid, Cristiano Ronaldo of Portugal and Real Madrid, and Lionel Messi of Argentina and Barcelona. Messi and Ronaldo have dominated this annual award since 2008. Messi has won it 5 times to Ronaldo's 3. This marks the 6th year in a row the two superstars both have featured in FIFA's final shortlist of 3 players. Antoine Griezmann earned a spot in the final 3 with his performances for host France at this year's European Championship. Griezmann was named Player of the Tournament, and he also won the Golden Boot as top scorer with 6 goals and 2 assists. France lost in the final to Portugal 1-0 in extra time, with Guinea-Bissau-born Adair scoring in the 109th minute for the Portuguese. Meanwhile, Cristiano Ronaldo helped Portugal win Euro 2016, although his performances were often criticized, and Ronaldo was also injured early in that final against France. At the club level, Ronaldo won the UEFA Champions League with Real Madrid. Lionel Messi, meanwhile, led Argentina to the final of this year's Copa America Centenario, which was held right here in the USA. For the second year in a row, Argentina lost in the final to Chile on penalty kicks. At the club level, Lionel Messi won La Liga with Barcelona. Meanwhile, Claudio Ranieri and Fernando Santos, the men behind two of the year's biggest football surprises, were nominated for FIFA's Coach of the Year award, along with Real Madrid's Zinedine Zidane. The Italian Ranieri led underdog Leicester City to its first English Premier League title, while Santos won Euro 2016 with Portugal, the country's first major trophy. For his part, Zinedine Zidane led Real Madrid to the UEFA Champions League title in his first season in charge, beating cross-city rival Atletico in the final. The annual FIFA Awards ceremony will be held January 9th in Zurich, Switzerland.
Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa. Well, it began with youngsters kicking a soccer ball around at a Greek refugee camp they call home. But now, thanks to backing that includes a major figure in the country's pro football league, players at newly formed Hope Refugee United are now dreaming big as they get set to compete with Greek teams. John Owens reports from Athens.
They crossed continents and seas, but on this evening, their biggest hurdle is the offside trap. Meet Hope Refugees United, Greece's newest football team. And with backing from friends in pretty high places, they've got something to prove. Players like 17-year-old Afghan Fahim Ahmadi have brought their passion for the sport from their conflict-scarred homelands, and most live here, Scaramangas Refugee Camp. on the coast near Athens. Frustrated and with little to do, there have been occasional fights between youngsters of different ethnicities. But on the team, such things don't matter.
When we make the teams and they were friendly, they're saying no Yazidi, no Afghani, no Suri, no Kurdi. They'll all be like brothers and they want to be peace and they will be like now friends.
What was once a casual kick around has become something more. The youngsters now make regular trips out of the camps to play on a proper field, passing by the stadium of Olympiakos, one of Greece's best teams. After a few informal matches, on this day they are taking part in trials to form an official squad with the aim of joining a Greek league in the coming weeks. Among those supporting their efforts has been Petros Kokalis, whose NGO, Organisation Earth, has been supporting football training and who is also ex-vice president of Olympiakos.
This team is going to compete into a Greek championship. So we think that this is a great opportunity for these guys to represent their community in the wider Greek community and interact with it.
Back in Skaramangas, Organisation Earth is also helping train children. But Petros hopes to expand the efforts and get these footballers out of the camp as often as possible.
The goals of this program is to de-ghetto refugees and get them out of the camps into normal society.
For this group at least, that's happening. And as they head out once again to train and take part in their third match, one player explains why the name Hope Refugees United is so appropriate.
I feel like football makes me alive, really. When I play football with the friends, with the guys, I feel like I forget all of the past, really. I forget everything. I don't think about the past, about the world, about everything. I just think about my future.
John Owens, VOA News, Athens.
VOA! Listen to VOA's program lineup live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeeds. VOAnews.com. VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOAsunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
Big announcement on Facebook Friday by the reigning Formula One auto racing champion. And joining us now to tell us about it is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings and happy Friday, Andrew.
Sporty greetings and a very happy Friday to you as well, Sonny.
Nico Rosberg trending on this Friday.
Absolutely, very much so. It was just this past week that we talked about Nico Rosberg capturing that Formula One driving title. And just days later, the shock announcement coming out today on Facebook that he is retiring at the age of 31. He's going out on top, having won the title. And as you mentioned, he did release the statement on Facebook. It's rather lengthy, but I'll read a couple little excerpts from it. He starts out and says, "Since 25 years in racing, it has been my dream, my one thing, to become Formula One world champion. Through the hard work, the pain, the sacrifices, this has been my target, and now I've made it." And he goes on to talk about some of the struggles that he went through the course of the year, battling to win that title. And he says, "When I won the race in Suzuka," which is a race prior to this, the Grand Prix Abu Dhabi race that he just ran, said, "For the moment when the destiny of the title was in my own hands, the big pressure started, and I began to think about ending my racing career if I became world champion." He said, "I took my decision on Monday evening. After reflecting for a day, the first people he told were Vivian and some of his team members on his team." And he goes on to say that it was a tough decision. The only way that it's difficult is because he's putting his racing family into a tough situation, but he thinks this is the right decision for him. And he closes with this. He says, "Now I'm just here to enjoy the moment. There is time to savor the next weeks, to reflect on the season, and to enjoy every experience that comes my way. After that, I will turn the next corner in my life and see what it has in store for me. dot, dot, dot. So leaving the door open to see what happens. Maybe he'll be maybe an owner or something like that. But a surprise announcement that kind of came out of the blue. And as he put that up on Facebook, getting tons of comments and likes as people flood to his page to read the whole thing.
I remember earlier in the week, Andrew, you told our VOA listeners about this video that Rosberg had posted. And it included images of his father, Keke Rosberg, who won the Formula One title in 1982. Do you think his father maybe influenced his decision?
It's possible. I mean, he doesn't give too much insight other than to say that he made the decision on Monday night. He doesn't really talk so much about how he came to that decision other than that he wanted to go out on top as a world champion. That was his one goal, and he achieved that. But the Formula One tweeted out, actually, after this announcement, said, "Sunday, achieves lifelong ambition, emulates his father. Friday, retires from Formula One as world champion. That's some 5 days." It may very well be that he, you know, spoke to his father and his father said, "You know what, you've achieved your dream." But it may very well be an internal decision that he made as well. Sounds to me like it was more of an internal decision. It sounds like he thought long and hard about this and it had to come from within.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world on this Friday?
So as a result of this statement, you know, of course, everyone's flocking to Facebook, but they're also flocking to other social media networks like Twitter to offer their reactions and congratulations. We're seeing a lot of F1 drivers, Kevin Magnussen saying big respect for Nico Rosberg. Sergio Perez, another F1 driver, said definitely a great champion, big admiration. And I think the general sentiment that we're seeing across social media is that fans are sad to see him go. But what a way to go out. You go out on top as the world champion. That's your dream has been achieved. And so fans are sad to see him go, but there's a lot of respect there. And it makes me think about, you know, in other sports, you kind of have two tracks that you can take if you're one of the greats. Either you stick around and maybe your career kind of fizzles out and then you retire after a while, or you can go out on top. And so that is what he's doing. I know as a tennis fan, I can think of Marianne Bartoli right after she won Wimbledon. She said, "I'm retired. I'm done."
That's right.
And
that's
Flavia right. Panetta also at the U.S. Open after her historic run at the U.S. Open said, "You know what? This is my last Grand Slam tournament." She's still playing, though, so I don't know how well that has held up. But a lot of fans recognizing that, too, saying, "You know what? You have achieved everything you've wanted. You've checked all those boxes. It maybe is time to leave on a high note."
And I'm thinking, as you speak, Andrew, Tiger Woods playing this weekend in the Bahamas, 40 years old, and maybe Tiger's best days are well behind him now. And it's really tough for these guys to go out maybe when they should.
Yeah, it's a tough decision, you know, that any athlete has to make. Do I continue and try to recapture some of that magic that I've had, or do I just go out when I'm on top of the food chain? And that's what Nico Rosberg did.
I understand another athlete who's trending, Andrew, tries to put on the boxing gloves now and then, but they're not on right now, I don't think.
No, talk about, you know, going out on top. Floyd Mayweather doing quite well for himself and made news this week on social media, put up a picture on Instagram of a $100 million check that he received for his fight with Manny Pacquiao. And he wrote a note, you know, a long statement, not as long as Nico Rosberg's, but a little long statement. He said, "Gotta love the backseat driver, so worried about another man's legacy instead of trying to write their own. Ultimately, I will always have the last laugh. This is just one of my many checks, a cool $100 million that I still have every dime of. Y'all still have to work. However, I'm happily retired." So maybe hinting there that he might not be putting on the boxing gloves and coming back anytime soon. Certainly, as far as his finances are concerned, he's, I would say, pretty comfortable. And that $100 million check is part of the $250 million that he earned.
Wow.
So that's only one of many checks with a lot of zeros on it. But they said on social media, some of the fan reactions, they said they don't call Floyd Mayweather money for nothing. And it really does prove that he doesn't have to fight again if he doesn't want. But the flip side of that, some fans saying maybe he's a little insecure. That's why he had to put that check up there to show people, "Hey, you know what? I'm worth it." But causing a lot of attention, getting a lot of eyeballs on that picture. And like I said, a lot of zeros behind that one. A
lot of zeros indeed. Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Have a good weekend, Andrew.
You too. Thanks.
And that wraps up the December 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
Charles Ryan Dikayo, a former restaurant manager in the Mubuga sector of the Gishita commune, is wanted for taking part in the Rwandan genocide in the early 1990s. In April 1994, he helped organize and took part in an attack by police, Interahamwe militia, and armed civilians on a church in Mubuga, where refugees fleeing the violence had sought shelter. The attack lasted several days and resulted in thousands of deaths. For these and other crimes, the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, the ICTR, indicted Mr. Charles Ryan Dikayo on charges of genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes, and issued a warrant for his arrest. The United States is cooperating with other governments, the United Nations, and ICTR to make it harder for Mr. Ryan Dikayo and the others involved in the killings to continue to elude justice. Toward that end, the U.S. has renewed an offer of a reward of up to $5 million for information leading to his arrest. Mr. Ryan Dikayo fled Rwanda and is believed to be living in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. If you or anyone you know has information on his activities and whereabouts, it can be provided with complete confidentiality. You may contact the nearest U.S. embassy, or you can call internationally 243-81-715-2501. Also by email at rewardsforjusticedrc@yahoo.com or on the internet at www.rewardsforjustice.net/war crimes. The U.S. guarantees that all reports will be investigated and the identity of all informants will be kept confidential. If appropriate, the U.S. is prepared to protect informants by relocating them.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, Fidel Castro ruled Cuba for 47 years, leaving an imprint on almost every major revolutionary effort in Africa after 1959. Join us for an in-depth look at Castro's impact on Africa. That's right here on Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.
When news is happening, VOA Africa is there.
Mohamed Yusuf of VOA News, Nairobi.
Victor Beatty, VOA News, Washington.
Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Joba.
Moki Edwin Kinzika for VOA News, Yaoundé.
VOA correspondents take you right to the center of events as they're happening. And this is where you hear it all on VOA Africa.